In Politics, Westminster by David Henke. The government faced demands from MPs of all parties for compensation for the 3.5 million surviving women born in the 1950s who faced a 6-year delay in getting their pensions. This linked to the government's decision to refuse to implement the partial maladministration findings of the Parliamentary Ombudsman's report, which recommended up to £2,900 compensation. For the women, the motion said. This House notes the Parliamentary and Health Service Ombudsman, PHSO, report on women's state pension age, which found that maladministration in the Department for Work and Pensions, DWP, communication about the Pensions Act 1995, resulted in complainants losing opportunities to make informed decisions about some things and to do some things differently, and diminished their sense of personal autonomy and financial control. Further notes that there will likely be a significant number of women born in the 1950s who have suffered injustice because of maladministration in DWP's communication about the Pensions Act 1995, and also notes that, given the scale of the impact of DWP's maladministration and the urgent need for a remedy, the PHSO took the rare but necessary step of asking Parliament to intervene, and asked Parliament to identify a mechanism for providing appropriate remedy for those who suffered injustice. Rebecca Long-Bailey, Labour MP for Salford and chair of the All-Party Parliamentary Group on State Pension Inequality for Women, spoke on the issue covered by WASPI, who are seeking permission for a judicial review against the DWP, and broadened the debate by including CEDAW In-Law and 1950s Women of Wales. CEDAW In-Law and 1950s Women of Wales strongly support a mediation route towards redress, via and towards mediation with the Secretary of State, via mediators, she said. More broadly, they raise concerns that discrimination needs to be factored into any redress mechanism, stating that the rollout of state pension ages potentially conflicts with the UN Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, CEDAW, treaty, which the UK signed in 1981. As such, the government should implement a temporary special measure to guarantee an adequate, non-discriminatory pension. She suggested alternatives on how the government could raise the money. There are options to make sure schemes are financially sustainable. WASPI has calculated that HM Treasury has saved a whopping £181 billion by increasing the state pension age alone. Other options include applying a 1% to 2% wealth tax on assets over £10 million, which would raise up to £22 billion a year, or equalizing capital gains tax with income tax rates, which would raise £15.2 billion a year. Applying national insurance to investment income would raise £8.6 billion a year. Ending stealth subsidies on banks could raise £55 billion over the next 5 years. She was backed by John McDonnell, who as Shadow Chancellor was prepared to put £58 billion on the table in compensation. Cross-party support for compensation included Stephen Flynn, former Scottish National Party leader, Democratic Unionist Party MP Jim Shannon, and Lib Dem MPs, including Women and Equality spokesperson Christine Jardine and Deputy Party Leader Daisy Cooper. Tories' backers of some form of compensation included Julian Lewis, John Hayes, and Danny Kruger, who said, "I pay tribute to Labour members for their campaigning on this. They are the heroes of the movement." But Pensions Minister Torsten Bell was unmoved. Simply paying a flat rate to all 3.5 million women born in the 1950s, irrespective of any injustice, is hard to justify. Fundamentally, though, our decision was not only driven by cost, but that we do not agree with the Ombudsman's approach to injustice or remedy. Rebecca Long-Bailey said, "We are not going to give up until justice is done, and neither are the women."